You can head out now and take on that wonderful responsibility. This afternoon, we'll be having business meeting, and that'll be in the fellowship hall. We'll be having sandwiches, so if you'll bring whatever comes, whatever, that's right, isn't it? Whatever goes with a sandwich, some dessert, and just about anything works good, doesn't it? So we'd like for you to come, be a part of that. Involve yourself. Look at... We try to make sure that we give a report of everything that is going on and how the gifts that you give, how that money is spent, where it's distributed to, and you be able to see how the church operates if you're not accustomed to that. And we'd like for you to be there. Whether you're a member or not, we'd like for you to be there. And actually, our plan is for you to be a member. We want you to, if you're not saved, to get saved. That's your first step, to ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. We'd like for you to do that. Jesus would like for you to do that. And that's what the Word of God teaches. The Bible tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's good news. That's what that word means. Gospel means good news. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then it tells us to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. And that word baptism, there and all through the Scripture, there is no other place that it doesn't say to immerse the individual who is being baptized. And so if you've not done that yet, your first step is to be saved. Then you're to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. That is, that you're to be baptized. You're to paint a picture of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says for us to teach those converts everything that Jesus has taught us. And in order for the church to be able to do that, you just about got to be here. It's hard to teach in any other way. And so your attendance is very, very important. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible tells us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And then it goes on to say, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And I know that there's not a verse in the Bible that says you go Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But you know, if you added all the time together that's in the week, that wouldn't amount to a whole lot. But you do have to make plans. And so if you don't plan on being here tonight, you've made plans on not being here. If you don't plan on being here next Sunday, you've made plans on not being here. I understand that if your leg's broke, sometimes you can't come. But... by the way, that's not any fun at all. I went through that. That's you can find a lot of other things to entertain yourself with. I'm not going to charge you anything for that. That's not what I'm going to preach on. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, the sixth chapter. Luke, the sixth chapter. We're in this series on the family. And I don't know of anything that I would rather preach on than the family. The message that we have for today actually includes everybody in the family. But I especially enjoy preaching to the men. I like to do that. I don't feel like I'm very qualified to preach to the women. But I love to preach to the men. And there's going to be a portion of this, of course, that's going to be directed toward the fathers. And you think, well, what are you going to do? Spend the whole series preaching to the fathers? Well, no, not really. But in my opinion, you are the most important person in this series. You are the most important person in. And don't get me wrong when I say importance. I don't mean that you're up here and somebody else is down here. I don't mean that at all. But you are the key person in carrying out what the Scripture teaches for you to be. And I'm telling you guys, it doesn't matter where you're at along this deal, whether you're not married yet, or whether you're just starting your family, or whether you're like I am, a great-grandpa. You're still an important image, your key image, spiritually, in what the Bible teaches. God means for you to be the leader of that home spiritually, that you're to lead spiritually. It's your responsibility. It's not your wife's responsibility, not your kids' responsibility. I'm telling you, when I got saved, my folks weren't. They didn't go to church. My brother was old enough to drive, and he drove, and my sister and I rode. And we came to church, and we came to church every Sunday. We had never been, but something got in our head that we were supposed to be there. And so we came, and we came by ourselves. So I know that that's a possibility. I'm telling you, young or old, if you want to be here, you'll figure out some way to get here. And I want to urge you in doing that. So, take your Bibles and turn to Luke 6 and verse 30. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of this Word, to God's holy Word. Now, you're going to think, now, what in the world does that have to do with the family? But absolutely, it has everything to do with the family. Matter of fact, this verse has everything to do with you. If you get hold of this verse, if you and I get hold of this verse and we grab it for all it's worth, it will change our lives. I heard a guy give a testimony about playing the guitar the other night, and he talked about a chord that he had learned when he was young, and he said, "That chord changed my life." And I thought, that boy must have been a real important chord. This Word will change your life if you will grab hold of it and learn it and make it part of that. "Give to every man that ask of thee." Oh my, that what a way to start. "Give to every man that ask of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise." Now verse 32 really meets the road. It's where the rubber hits it. "For if you love them which love you, what have you done?" The King James says, "What thank have you? What do you think you've done if you just love people that love you? For sinners also love those that love them. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same." Father, we thank you and praise you for the day that you've given us and for your Word. And we just pray that you'd open our hearts to what you'd have us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We haven't done a thing if we just love those folks that love us. If we just live our lives the same way that sinners do, folks outside of the church, we haven't done a thing. But what the Word is asking us to do is to take that step that goes beyond that. And so, not only with the outside world, not only with the lost world, but you and I take a step up higher, especially with our family. The Bible says if we don't take care of those of our own household, that we're worse than an infidel. So, number one, please just give me some of your time. Time seems to be the most important commodity that you and I have. I mean, we're willing to give our money. We're willing to buy books and give to folks, and we're willing to make donations here and donations there. But when it comes to our time, it's a totally different deal. Time is a very valuable thing in the world in which you and I live, to give people our time. So what I'm going to be talking about today, and what I think that God's led me to here, is not giving our time to the people outside of our own family, but coming to a place where we give our own family our time. And most of the time, it doesn't take too long. Really, it doesn't take too long. It's not like that we're going to spend the next, 24/7 doing this. Most of the time, it doesn't take too long. The devil would convince us that, this is not what you want to do. You're just going to be ruined if you do this. You just got to, you can't give your time. You've got to hold on to that for yourself. But in reality, we all have the same amount. God's given all of us the same amount of time in the day. And none of us know when that last time is going to come. I want you to turn with me to the book of Psalms, the 90th chapter. And there is a verse here that we all need to know about. It is 90 and verse 12, and it says, "So teach us to number our days." So it's to give respect to time. We're going to be talking about budgeting our time a little bit later. But here it's about giving. Teach us to number our days. In the Sunday school class this morning, I heard two announcements of folks that had passed away. There is not any of us that knows the number of our days. So teach us to number our days, that we make our days count. We don't know how much longer we have. I've made two visits this week that I felt urged to make. And I told my wife, I said, I don't know if I'm going to have that opportunity again. So I'm going to take this opportunity to go make those visits today, because I may not have the opportunity to do it again. And I'm going to do that. Teach us to number our days. I want to give a word to the young people that are here today out of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. I love this passage. And it says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth," while you're young. Now, it's a possibility that your parents are still young enough that they have not grabbed hold of this yet. But I guarantee you that your grandparents have grabbed hold of it. They know how short the time is. And some of you that are my age or better, you know how short time is. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." There is coming a time that you're going to be give out. What does that say? That I have no pleasure in them. I'm not full of energy. Someone said that it looks like that God would have given the energy to the older people, instead of vice versa. I think about trying to keep up with them. "While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble
Some of us are experiencing that, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they're few. That means you've lost your teeth. And those that look out of the window be darkened. Most of us have to have some help with eyeglasses. And it's not just give me some glasses, it's give me some bifocals and trifocals to be able to see what I need to see. And the door shall be shut in the streets, and the sound of the grinding is low. You get where you can't hear, and he shall rise up that the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, are you there yet? Well, you better be if you're getting up there, because them high places are not for old people. And fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. And what is he talking about? He is talking about when you're young, give your heart and your life to the Lord. Give yourself to him when you have the strength to do that. Don't wait. Do it now. In Ecclesiastes 3:4, God has made everything beautiful in His time. And in this passage, He tells us in Ecclesiastes 3 that the only benefit of having things is if it is a gift of God, if it's come from God, if it's that work that God is doing in our lives. What benefit would a goal be in our life if we couldn't share that goal with our family? If you have something that you cannot share with your family, what is that? It is of no benefit. Now I want us to look at spending quality time. In the book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter and verse 16, the Bible says, redeem the time. Now what does that mean? What does it mean to redeem the time? Literally, it means to budget the time. But make sure, I'm telling you, I have preached to myself right here because I'm the world's best at wasting time. Redeem the time for a purpose. There's a purpose in it. What is that purpose? If you go ahead and read that verse, you discover that verse says, because the days are evil. And I'm telling you, dear friend, there is a force out there. There is a force out there that is trying to steal the hearts and the lives of our young people. There is something going on right now that is trying to steal the heart of your kids. Trying to pull the hearts of your kids away from serving God. Away from doing that which is right. And that force is evil, and that force is the devil. Now let me tell you what the devil's purpose is in this life. The Bible says that he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. You think that he's got a good plan for your kids? He's certainly got a plan for them, but it's not a good plan. It's a plan of destruction. What he wants to do in your life and what he wants to do in the life of your children and in my life and in the life of my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren is to bring them to a place of destruction. And so he has told me in his word that I am to budget my time to keep that from happening. So, I want to give you some suggestions in that area. 4 ways to improve your quality time. I said this last Sunday, I believe, and maybe I've said it a lot of times. If I had an opportunity to live my life over, one of the things that I would want to do different is raise my kids differently. I would spend more quality time with my family. I remember talking to my wife about something that it really bothered me. One of our grandkids was being potty trained. Isn't that a great time in a kid's life and in the life of their family? And I said, I cannot remember us potty training any of our kids. I don't remember it at all. And she said, that's because you were never here. I would change that if I had the opportunity. It's past. I don't have that opportunity. But some of you have that opportunity. And so you want to take full advantage of that. So let me give you these suggestions. Togetherness. Togetherness. Do it together. Do it together. Do it as a family. Gather everybody up. And do it together. And really, it doesn't really matter what the activity is. It doesn't have to be a great big thing as long as you're doing it together. Quality time is your full attention. Someone that has as much trouble paying attention as I do, this is hard for me to preach on. I really have to bear down when it comes to this. Quality conversation. My wife doesn't want me to solve her problems. She wants me to listen to her most of the time. I'm a problem solver. I can tell her what she needs to do. We were having a conversation back when she was teaching school, and she was telling me about something that was going on at school. And she was obviously upset over that. Things weren't working right. And the more she talked, the madder I got. And she continued to talk about that. And I said, let me tell you what you should do. And I began to tell her how she ought to operate her business. And when I got through blubbering, she said, you do not have a clue. You've never taught in a classroom. You've never been there. I felt real stupid. I said, you are right. You're right. I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. So it's not fixing the problem. Most of the time it's giving our attention. It's listening. And learning to listen may not be easy. I tell you, that's one of my hardest jobs is listening. So I want to give you something that might improve your listening skills that I need to work on myself. And I think I've been working on that. If you have attention deficit disorder, which I have, attention is a real tough deal. And so I have to concentrate on this. And the first thing that has to take place if we're giving our full attention is eye contact. It's that you make eye contact. And so when you're talking to your spouse, or if you're talking to one of your kids, make eye contact. Make sure that they know that you are listening to what they have to say, because they've got your eyes. You're making eye contact. You're not going ahead and doing what it is that you're doing. I know some of you think that you can multitask, but you cannot multitask and listen to someone. Eye contact. So I want to urge you to do that. Don't do something else at the time you're supposed to be listening. I get myself in trouble. You know, things catch my attention so easily. I can get so easily distracted. Someone will come into my... I have to practice. I mean, I have to work on this. Some of you guys do too. But I can have somebody come into my office to talk to me about something very, very seriously, and they'll be sitting in one of my chairs, and I'll be sitting in the other, and something will take place out there in the foyer of the gym. Somebody will be carrying on a conversation. I'll be looking over their shoulder at what's going on over there, and pretty soon they're looking. What is it that he's looking at? What is he looking at instead of looking at me? You can't do it. You and I need to be listening, especially with our children. We need to be listening for feelings. I think this is true with our spouses also. What emotion is taking place? Are they anger? Are they angry? Are they disappointed? Are they worried about something maybe that's not coming out? Something that's going on at school, you know, they might even be being bullied and they're talking about something. And we need to grab hold of that. Confusion, or love, or hate. Observe their body language. And then refuse to interrupt. A lot of us men think that we've got the answer. So we just interrupt and we correct everything right there where it's going on. We don't. Most of the time, that child just needs some of our time to be able to talk that deal out. You listen to it. And then maybe you've got to, when they finish, maybe you've got a situation in your own life when you was a kid that you'd be able to share with them that would help them cope with what it is they're coping with. Learn to talk. Learn to express yourself. There's a little deal that I do with couples that I counsel if they're in a marriage difficulty. They're struggling. And a lot of it's communication. Being willing to talk. Being willing to communicate with one another. And I try to say what you mean and then mean what you say. Say what is going on. Be able to repeat what the other person has just said. And I had a couple in the office and they were struggling and the woman shared what her feelings. So I turned to the man and I said, I want you to repeat to me what she just said. He couldn't do it. He said totally something different than what she had said. And I said, say it again. She said it again. I said, okay, I want to hear you repeat it. Repeat what she said. He couldn't do it. Here's his second chance and he still said what he wanted her to say. And it wasn't what she said. We went through that three times. I was ready to choke him by the time we got through. I could understand why she wanted to choke him. And I think that's with your children or with your spouse to be able to repeat what they said. Quality activities. Something at least one person likes to do. And that may change as time goes on. It will change as your kids grow up. And then I want to close with this. I think that whether you're making the list in your head or you actually write down a list, and which I think would probably be best if you just write down a list. But for you men and wives, make a list. What are some things you know that your spouse would love for you to do with them? Or maybe it's just something that they, if their love language is acts of service, and there is something that they want you to do, for you to make a list of that, to be able to fulfill that need in their life. And most of the time, that's not going to mean near as much to you as it does to them. I've got this big old white bathtub that keeps coming into my mind. And I did it. I fixed it. Me and Max fixed it. Make a list. I heard a story a while back that one of the things that the husband always wanted the wife to do with him and she just refused to do was to go hunting with him, go deer hunting. And she decided, this is something he wants, I'm going to do it. I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it. So she told him she was going to, let's make this plan, let's do it. They got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, loaded their stuff in their truck, and they took off to the deer stand. They got up in the deer stand, sat there 3 hours, didn't see a thing, nothing happened, nobody spoke. Come time, it's over, got down out of the tree stand, loaded her stuff back in the truck, got in the truck, and the man said, was that not great? It was the best time of my life. I'm so glad you went with me. I love it. I love it. And she's thinking, make a list. And the list for your children would be different. One of the things that I did with my girls when they were growing up that I still remember as being one of the very best times of our life is that I would take them on dates. I would take my girls on dates, and we would... Sometimes I would make call the school and make an appointment to pick them up at school and take them with me, I'd let them pick out where they wanted to eat, and it just me and one of them, and we would spend some quality time, and we would have lunch together or supper together, and it would be our date together. It meant. And at the time it was going on, I was thinking, boy, there's a lot of other things I need to be doing. But now, as I look back on it, it was one of the most, as I spent that time, it was valuable. It's one of my best investments that I ever made. We're going to be continuing this family theme over the next 3 Sundays. And I hope you'll come and be a part of that. Let's stand together.